Kings chapter 18 and verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord or if Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Amen. We'll end the reading at that verse. And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we ask that thy Spirit will seal the reading of thy word to all of our hearts. And grant that thy Holy Spirit will take of this text of scripture and bring forth its meaning to our understanding with clarity, plainness, and with power. And we pray, Lord, that the truth that is contained here will be impressed upon each heart in this service. The great necessity and the great urgency to choose for Christ. O Lord, grant thy power tonight, and may the word of God come to every heart with accompanying faith. Faith that believes what God has said. Faith that acts upon what God has said. These things we ask in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Verse 21 is the text tonight, and the question of Elijah to the people on Mount Carmel, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. There were three distinct groups or categories of people assembled at that momentous event upon Mount Carmel. The first was the devoted follower and servant of Jehovah, represented in the person of Elijah. In fact, he was the only follower of Jehovah present on that occasion. The second group of people were the advocates, the proponents, the propagators of false religion, of a false god, namely the prophets of Baal. But there were a third group of people, a vast company of undecided attenders who neither followed Jehovah fully nor followed Baal fully. Elijah addresses that company on this occasion. His message is not to those who were devoted to Jehovah. His message was not devoted to those who embraced and despised the worship of Baal, false religion, but his message on this occasion is directed to that vast company of people who Elijah describes as halting between two opinions. They had not fully determined to worship the God of Israel, and nor had they fully determined to worship the heathen god Baal, the god introduced by Jezebel from the region to the north of Israel. Their ancient tradition led them to fear Jehovah, but at the same time, their interest in the king's court led them to acknowledge Baal. And so they are holding on to a little of both. They're holding on to either without a full commitment to one or the other, they are halting between two opinions. The text literally means to limp. The thought here is, in the Hebrew text, it means, how long hop? How long do you hop between one and the other? That's the thought here. Leaning upon one for a little time and then leaning upon the other for some other time. That's the sense here. That's the people whom Elijah is addressing. This vast company halting between two opinions. I'm always intrigued by just how relevant the Bible is. People say the Bible is outdated. People say the Bible is not relevant. Here was a circumstance, a situation that took place many, many hundreds of years ago. And yet, it's right up to date. It's right up to date. It's as if we're looking at the circumstance as it appears in our own day and generation. If we were to bring this into our own circumstances, we would have to say that for many a long year, Bible Christianity has been established in our land. But now, in recent days, in recent years, there has come along a great contender, a false god seeking to claim, to lay claim upon the hearts of the people, and it has gained ascendancy. And there are some who still adhere to the old book of God, the Bible, and biblical Christianity. But there are those who wholeheartedly have embraced the religion of the new contender. But there's a vast multitude in between. A vast multitude halting between the two, hopping between one and the other. They have some interest in the God of the Bible. They have been brought up in Sunday school. They have been brought up in church. They have a certain knowledge of the Bible, and it has created within them some kind of recognition towards the God of the Bible. But there's also a curiosity in their hearts that leads them to lean towards this new contender, this new God, this new form of religion. They're halting between the two. They have not come out fully on either side. How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah's appeal is both timely and relevant to our own day and our own generation. He is, in essence, asking the question, who is your God? Who is your God? If Jehovah be God, then follow him. If the contender, the new contender, the new God, the new religion, if he be God, then follow him. But do not halt between the two. Do not stand in the middle, undecided. Make your decision. Who is your God? That's the question. And when you consider this great appeal that Elijah made here, you'll notice some characteristics that come to the fore. In the first place, it is clear that there is a distinction between the God of heaven and the God of Baal. Elijah distinguished between the worship of Jehovah, the faith of Jehovah, and the faith of Baal and the worship of Baal religion. The two were poles apart. They could not in any way be fused or married together. His hearers were doing just that. They were trying to take the God of the Bible and the revelation of Scripture and marry it together with this new religion that had been introduced by Jezebel, the religion of the pagans, the religion of the heathens round about. They were trying to marry the two together. But Elijah is absolutely clear. There is an inconsistency. To try and worship at both altars, they thought would be consistent. But Elijah says it cannot be. If Jehovah is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. But you cannot fuse the two together and worship at both altars. These are two separate, distinct positions, two separate, distinct beliefs, two separate, distinct opinions. You cannot make them one. You cannot join them together. You cannot manufacture a unity between the both, between the two of them. Because either Jehovah is God or he is not. Either Baal is God or he is not. They cannot both be God. And of course, Elijah is coming from the standpoint of what the scripture taught. You look there in verse number 18, when he speaks to Ahab, he says, "You have forsaken the commandments of Jehovah, the commandments of the Lord." And what was the first of those commandments? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And right away, right at the very start, the Lord makes it clear. He cannot accept, he cannot tolerate any other contender. He cannot be placed on a platform of equality with any other. And therefore Elijah says to the people, you must recognize that you cannot bring the two together. You cannot have a little of each and fuse them together. It must be one or the other. There's no in between. There's no neutrality. The God of the Bible says, you cannot have any other God before me. I alone am God. That's the religion of the Bible. But in the day of Elijah and in the society of Israel at that time, they had cast away that absolute belief, that absolute revelation. And they were entertaining the idea that they could bring in the new religion, the new contender, and they could fuse them together. They could take a little bit of each and hold to both at the same time. And it's exactly the same that is happening today in our nation and in our province and in our land. We have two gods. We have two religions. On the one hand, we have Jehovah, the eternal God, the self-existent God, who says, I am from everlasting to everlasting. I am the creator of all things. I am almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful. I am the just and true living God, and beside me there is none other. But on the other hand, we have a God who is the result, the product of man's making, man's thinking. A contender. A new God that seeks to claim, to lay claim upon the hearts and minds of the people. And the origin of that new God is found in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. When the devil came to Adam and Eve, our first parents, and held out to them the essence of that new God. The devil said to Eve concerning the fruit that God had prohibited, forbidden them to eat. He said, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, Satan is saying, you will be your own God. And you will be able to determine for yourself what is good and what is evil. You will be able to determine for yourself what you want to be right and what you want to be wrong. And essentially, that's what it comes down to. In every generation of time, in every society, there is either the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, the God of Revelation, or there is the God of man's making, in which he makes himself his own God. And never the twain can meet. They cannot be fused together. You cannot take a little from one and a little from the other and bring them together. It is not possible. Elijah is identifying that. When he speaks to this great multitude of halters, he identifies the fact that there is a line of demarcation. It is either Jehovah, or it is the God who is the figment of man's imagination, the product of man's own thoughts. But you cannot have both. There is a distinction that Elijah identifies. But notice secondly here that Elijah also identifies the decision that had to be made. If Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And now he is pressing upon his audience, his congregation, not only highlighting the clear distinction between the two, but now he's saying, you must decide. You must choose. If Jehovah is God, then choose to follow him. If Baal, then follow him. You cannot take the middle ground. You cannot halt any longer. Either God is God, either Jehovah is God, or he is not. Either he exists or he does not exist. Either his revealed word, the Bible, is true, or it is not true. Either God is the author of morality and determines what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, or else he is not the author of morality. Either the salvation that is revealed in Scripture as flowing solely from the merits of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Either that salvation is true and right and correct, or it's not. There's no in between. And you must choose. You must decide tonight. You cannot continue halting between the two opinions. You must choose tonight. You must choose. You must decide. Does God exist? Is he the living God? Is the Bible the Word of God, the revelation of truth and authoritative? The morality that God has revealed in the Bible, you must decide, is it right? Is it to be followed and submitted to? Is the salvation of this Bible that is found in Jesus Christ the only way that I can be reconciled to God and brought nigh to him? You must choose tonight. Elijah says, if the Lord be God, follow him. Now, he did not encounter a response on that occasion. Verbally, the people did not respond. Verse 21 says, the people answered him not a word. But it may well have been the case, and I think it is implied here in the form of the question and the assertion that Elijah makes. I think it may have been the case that within their hearts they may have said, within their own minds they may have said, though they did not utter the words, but within their own hearts they may have said, how do you know we are undecided? And Elijah addressed that question, that unspoken question. He addressed it in the word follow. And that indicates that by their practice and by their actions and by their conduct, they were only betraying their own indecision. They were not acting upon the teaching of God's word. They were not following him in their lives. He may well have said to them on this occasion, if they had thrown up any objection, he may have said to them, well, you say you believe in God, but you never read his word. You never hear his word. Oh, you say, I hold to the ancient religion of our land, but you never pray. And you never attend the house of God to worship him. You do not seek to identify with his cause or to promote his name or his testimony. You see, your works betray the indecision of your heart. And there's many a person tonight in this land. They might hold their hand up and say, I'm Christian. But they're not following Christ. Their life, their conduct, their behavior betrays the indecision of their own heart. They take a little of one and a little of the other, and they bring them together, and they content themselves that all is well. And then an old rough prophet comes along, and with coarse voice he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? And some will say, go away, you rough-spoken prophet. Don't disturb our sleep of contentment. Don't disturb us. But Elijah comes and he says, you must decide. You must choose tonight. You cannot halt any longer. You must determine one way or the other. I'm for Jesus Christ, or I'm not for Jesus Christ. There is no in-between. There is no neutrality. There is either a broad way, as we were thinking this morning, or there is a narrow way. There's no in-between way. There's no central reservation, you know. You're either on the broad way that leads to destruction, or the narrow way that leads to life eternal. You must choose tonight. Have you chosen Christ? This is a decision that comes with tremendous power. If the Lord be God, then determined to follow him, to be out and out for Jesus Christ. If Baal, then go and follow him. But you cannot remain halting any longer. There's a distinction that Elijah clearly emphasizes. There's a decision that must be made. Have you made the decision tonight? Are you halting between the two? You're not fully decided for Jesus Christ. You're halting in between. and you haven't yet come out for the Lord, you haven't yet made that full determination to follow him. But notice finally here the delay. For he begins the question by asking, how long? How long? Perhaps he anticipated another objection in the minds of the people. We haven't had time enough to make up our minds. We're confronted with a great decision. We have two great opposing religions, and we haven't yet made up our minds. We haven't had time enough to make up our minds. We need more time. Oh, perhaps that's what they were saying. Perhaps it's what someone here tonight is saying. I need more time in this choice. But Elijah, the rough prophet, simply says, you've had time enough. How long? How much longer will you halt between two opinions? You've had long enough. That's what he's saying. Long enough. Think of the context of the day in which he lived. For 3.5 years, famine had blighted the land. And that famine was a sign of God's displeasure with the nation for its sin. That famine brought great hardship and it brought many deaths. And the people who are standing on Mount Carmel are the same people who have stood at numerous gravesides, watched their friends and their family being lowered into the ground, being confronted with mortality and eternity. And Elijah says, how much longer do you need? The sign of God's displeasure all around, the evidence of mortality and eternity, and still you're undecided, still you're halting between two opinions, not fully decided. How many more dark providences are needed? How many more sicknesses? How many more deaths? How many more evidences of mortality and eternity? How long halt ye between two opinions? And for some in this meeting tonight, this text of Scripture is just like a mirror. And when you look into the mirror of this text, you see your own reflection. You see yourself. And you would have to say tonight, I have been halting between the two. I haven't come out fully on either side. I haven't come out fully for the Lord. I haven't come out fully for Christ. And the message of the Bible is this: how much longer are you going to stay in the valley of indecision? How much longer are you going to remain unsaved and unready for eternity? How much longer? How long halt ye between two opinions? You must decide tonight. If Jehovah is God, if Jesus is God, then follow him. Give him your heart. Surrender your all to him. Don't go any longer. Don't go another day. Don't go another hour towards eternity without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, can you hear the voice of the prophet? Can you hear the voice of the Lord's servant? Can you hear the passion in his words? Can you hear and sense the earnestness of this appeal? How long? How much longer? Oh, make the right choice tonight. Choose the Lord. He is God. His word is true. He's the great King of all creation. And he's the King who died for you upon the cross and shed his blood for your salvation. Don't go another day without him. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. If that will not convince you, then I do not know what will. How long halt ye between two opinions? Let's turn in closing in our hymn books to number 408.